Okay, so we're going to continue on our series, Living by Faith, or By Faith is the name of it. Today's Living by Faith. My wife did a great job last week, so praise God. We're glad for her to come up and share some things, and amen, about the armor of God and how important that armor is in our life. So to me, living by faith has so many different things when you try to grab a hold of that concept on what it means for our life. And, you know, many Christians, I think, struggle with that, you know, what it means to live by faith. Does it mean that we all just quit our jobs and pray and read the Bible all day? You know, and hopefully the checks will come in, right? You know, there's some people that think that's what it means to live by faith. But I don't think that's a viable solution for everybody. You know, like some people's got to get stuff done, right? So to me, living by faith is a relational issue that comes by a revelation from God. And that's really what we're, what we're needing here today. It's an understanding of our position in Christ on how we fit into God's plan. And we do all fit in God's plan. And to me, a couple things that hold us back, the root problem is sometimes you and I struggle because we spend so much time striving to get something that was freely given to us by God. We're always trying to show God, and really, God's already did all the work. And to me, self-image also plays a part of that. If the, by living by faith or the walk of faith is, you know, how we see ourselves determines how we're going to interact with God as well as the world around us. So self-image is very important. So we're going to look at three scriptures today. The first one's found in Romans 1:17. And the Apostle Paul was talking to the Roman church and wanting to stir them up a little bit, like we all need stirred up. And he's wanting to bring, to me, kind of a heavy revy of what God wants for us to grab a hold of and what God wants us to see. It says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We pray for a special stirring here today, Lord. We just want to go deeper and deeper in you. Lord, we pray for revelation knowledge to take place here, Lord, that you're wanting to move mightily in each of our hearts. I pray right now just for a stirring of your spirit. I thank you, Lord, just for I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate and to, for the gifts of the spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, in some translation, it says, "But the just shall live by faith." This is found about three times in the Bible at least. And it's important that we see ourselves as these kind of people, that we have to live by faith. And what does that mean? What does it mean for us to live by faith? See, our faith needs to be in what Jesus did on the cross. And when we have that, we have faith in what Jesus did in the on the cross, it will require God to put righteousness in our spiritual account. Okay, it's an automatic transfer. Do you guys, most of you have automatic transfers set up at your bank accounts and, you know, you work for a living and they'll do a direct deposit. It's just put into your account. If you do the time, you're going to get the reward. Okay? Well, God, what he does is the fact that when we approach him with faith, and we come and we believe the whole story, you know what I'm saying, about what Jesus did on the cross, because a lot of people, this is an area where they falter in some ways, is because they still think we have to add to it. I just prayed for a man the other day who is getting ready to pass away. And he thought that he had to be water baptized in order to be saved. Now, some churches, you know, may believe that way, but the Bible teaches against that. I believe we should be water baptized. But if we think there's something that we can do, you know, by works to get us into heaven, then it takes away from what Jesus did on the cross. So when we want to be water baptized, I believe it is a commandment from God that we should be water baptized, but it's not necessary for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And so we need to just yield ourselves and see that the finished work of Christ on what he did on the cross was good enough. Because if you and I try to add anything to it, it takes away from that work. Unknowingly, we are trying to diminish what Jesus did on the cross. Now, like I've always said, it's a fine line that you and I walk. Grace and works. James went into saying that we have to have works, but the works don't save us. The works are a manifestation of our love for God. Amen. See what I'm saying? We go do nice things for people. We go help people. We go do all these things, but it's not to gain entrance into relationship with God. It's a manifestation of that relationship with God. You know, that's why we do what we do. We are in relationship with God, and therefore, it compels me to want to do things that God wants me to do so that he gets the glory. You see what I'm saying? Amen. We're not doing it. Say, hey, God, look at me. Here's what I did this week. You know, every now and then you check in. Hey, God, I helped these three people. I gave money to two people. And I prayed every day. God, look what I've done. Well, that doesn't gain us anything, you know, when it comes to being, get us a step up in the kingdom of God. You know, the sons of thunder tried that, right, in the Bible. You know, they said they wanted to set one on Jesus' right and one on Jesus' left, and Jesus put a stop to that thing right now. You know, that's not for us to decide. So I want us to always, and I like to come back to this several times a year, because Paul said the same thing in Galatians. Every now and then, we see grace just makes it seem like it's too easy. There's got to be a catch, right? Have you ever got into one of those deals? It's just too good to be true. Have you ever had that? You know, somebody's trying to sell you something, and man, that just can't be right. It can't be that way. But when it comes to salvation, it is.
Amen.
It is. It is too good to be true, but it is true. The fact that all it takes on our end is a walk of faith and living by faith, trusting what Jesus did on the cross. See, the Bible, I believe, wants us to go from faith to faith and not failure to failure. You know, we need to go from faith to faith. Do we have problems? Yes. Are we going to have attacks in life? Yes. But that's all part of it. We know that. You might as well just know that going into this. You're going to have attacks. You're going to have problems in your life. But that doesn't matter. What matters is that we still keep our trust and our faith in a holy God who has a hold of us and is never going to let us go.
Amen.
And we're going to follow him with all our heart. So I call the walk of faith, or, you know, living by faith, it's a lifestyle of faith. It's a lifestyle of faith. It's the style of life we live. Now, different people have different lifestyles, right? Some people like new houses and new cars. Some people, that's nothing to them. You know, we all have different lifestyles. Some of you are pretty snappy dressers. Like Brother Jeff here, he likes to dress up. You know what I'm saying? Me? Eh. I do it if I have to. A couple, three times a year. I'll bless you with something really nice, you know. But it's just, you know, everybody has their different lifestyles that we live. And it's our way that we do things. But we as Christians need to have a lifestyle of faith. It means that we can't just, you know, live by faith on Sundays. You know what I'm saying? You know, we get up on Sunday morning, we flip the old switch, the old faith switch, right? And then Sunday's a God day, bless God. And we're gonna do God stuff. We're gonna clap and we're gonna sing, maybe even move a little bit, kind of dance, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna listen to a sermon, and then yay, our faith day. This is our faith day. You know, if you work out, you got leg day and arm day and sore day, the day after that day, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, but we have to get to the place where we live by faith, and that's a day in, day out. So lifestyle can be traced back to our system of living or how you and I do life. We all do life in this earth. If you're here and you're living and you're breathing, right? You do life. What's that mean? Most of you have a system. When you wake up, hypothetically, some people like to eat in the morning, some don't. Some like to stay up at late at night, some don't. Some like to have hobbies and do things, some don't. It's a lifestyle that we all choose. And so if we look at it from that perspective, you know, we need to have the lifestyle of faith and what that means to serve a holy God and how we want to conduct our business. You know, because we all have to conduct business, right? You know, you got to take care of business. You know, you have to do certain things. And in doing that, we don't leave God behind, but we include God in everything that we do. Now, you know, right standing with God changes our perspective on how we interact with the holy God and how we live our life in this world. Okay, so right standing. That word right standing is code for righteousness. Okay, another way of looking at righteousness is right wiseness. You know, righteousness is one of those words, you know, and the Bible even says we get a robe of righteousness. See, it says in Isaiah, I believe 64, it talks about our righteousness is filthy rags. You know what I'm saying? Pretty bad clothing. You know, it's just filthy. You can't go into places with it. You shouldn't, you know. But when we come to Christ, he gives us a robe and he places that on us and it covers everything. And that's a robe of righteousness. And so, I don't know about you, but back in the day when I used to travel and preach, I would have to dress like Jeff. I would have to wear a suit and I'd wear a tie and all that. But for me, because I did not wear one every day, when I put that suit on, Daddy's going to work. You know what I'm saying? It just turned a switch on. I'm going to work now. Why? Because I put these clothes on. Now, when I work construction in the fall and winter, I would wear flannel shirts because I like a pocket to put stuff in. Now, I don't like wearing flannel shirts other than then. My wife has flannel shirts. She likes wearing them. To me, that's work. It's in my mind. That's what I wear for work. That's when I go get dirty. So I don't wear those then. I have nice flannel shirts in my closet, and I never wear them because it equates in my mind something else. And so when we put on that robe of righteousness, it should equate to something else in our mind of what it means to walk in that righteousness or right standing with God. You know, and we need to understand the concept of what it means to be good with God and how that works out. Now, you know, remember, I've went into this year, I've really stressed this, that perspective affects perception, right? Our perspective will affect how we interpret the world around us. You know, like the old saying, those rose-colored glasses. You know, you put those certain glasses on, you look at things a different way. And that's why we all have different perspectives due to life. Some have had a rough childhood, perhaps, and they interpret the world around them a different way than somebody who was, you know, well-loved and cared for their whole life. You know what I'm saying? They just interpret situations differently. But the good news is that God can rewire our thinking if we put our God glasses on, shall we say, and we start to see that. See, we can, because of the righteousness of God, now we don't do this disrespectfully, but we can go right into the presence of God, people. We don't have to beg and crawl and try to get God's attention. We've already gotten it. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, and we have faith in him, that we should never go have to go into the presence of God and feel shame or fear. Never. But you know why we feel that sometimes? Because the enemy lies to us. Or sometimes we have made a big mistake and we haven't dealt with it yet. And that's what repentance is for.
Amen.
That's what the power of the blood of Jesus is for. That we just give it to God, boom, just like that, gone. Just wiped it out.
Thank you.
Don't have to worry about it anymore. But see, the lie of the devil, he tries to get these things in our mind and getting us thinking that we're still that person, and that holds us back. For me, whatever, some of these concepts were very easy to grasp. I don't know why when I first got saved, but I just understood what it meant to come into Christ, and that the power of the blood of Jesus washed me of all that other stuff. And I just knew that I was right with God. And I know that some people struggle with that. I understand that. And that's why it just some processes take a little bit longer. We have to keep putting the word in and we keep pushing that old stuff out. Because that perception, some of these things can affect our self-image and keep us in bondage, you know, to some degree. You know, I believe that, you know, we as Christians need to believe that we're good to go with God. Just good to go. I'm good to go. You know, I can, you know, I have no problem accessing God and to go into his presence because I know what Jesus has done in my life and, you know, just loving him. And why we need to understand this concept of the righteousness of God and how it helps us to live by faith is that the righteousness of God helps get us past our past, enables us to walk in victory in our present, and prepares us for our future. Amen. Three things: past, present, and future. Understanding that concept and what all that means. You know, we don't have to worry about our past because that's all taken care of. And right now, living in these days, we get to walk by faith. And then I do know, you know, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, I can look at the weather and check and maybe some of it's going to be right. They get it right every now and then. But I really don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I do know that I'm following God, wherever that takes me.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where I go, where I end up and all that. It's not going to change my faith. It's not going to change my relationship with God. I just know that tomorrow's been made ready for me. Now, there's a story in the Bible I want to look at. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to read verse 9 to 14. But you can read this story. It starts earlier up in the chapter. Talks about a wedding feast. How many like to go to weddings? Anybody? Yeah. Well, this is a story about one. And it kind of tells us a little bit about how things kind of work out, where we're going to pick it up. It says, in verse 9, it says, "Go therefore," here's the king or the man was saying, "Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite the wedding feast, to the wedding feast." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both good and evil. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guest, he saw a man who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness. In the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then it says, a very familiar scripture, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Now, a little background about this feast. Now, some believe this parable is talking about the millennial reign of Christ. I see it as that also, but I believe also you and I can today get a glimpse into the righteousness of God and what that concept means. It started off, and we never read this stuff, but the king sent the slaves to call all who had been invited to the wedding feast of his son, but they were unwilling to come. And sent them out again, and they made excuses and killed the slaves. And then the king sent more slaves out to invite the unworthy, and they came. So to me, this is a picture of the Jews rejecting Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And Jesus came, but many of them rejected him. As a matter of fact, they even killed many of God's servants who went out and tried to preach the gospel and to bring them into the kingdom of God. But then it says, and it's kind of unflattering for us, but we're kind of the wicked people, the bad guys, you know. We're the Gentiles. We're the ones who were born, you know, in a sense, not in the family of God, like the Jews were. The Jews were God's chosen people. But here we see that the king reached out and he wanted to bring everybody in. And praise God for that. It opened the door for the Gentiles, us, to be able to come into relationship with God, the kingdom of God. Well, then it goes on to talk about, and usually what happened at these feasts, the king would supply many times all the clothes to be able to go to the wedding. So everybody was dressed in proper attire. And, you know, it was nothing slouchy. But what happened is that somebody showed up, but they didn't want to put on the king's clothes. He was underdressed. Now, I know what that's like, to be underdressed in life. And so the king called him out on it, and he was speechless. And see, to me, it's a picture of when you and I try to go into the presence of God without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're unworthy. And what happens is when some people, to me, it's when we have head knowledge about God and not heart knowledge. Some people maybe understand the concept in their mind, but they don't, it's not a revelation to them. And that's why we need to pray that it's real, and that we understand it and get that concept that there's nothing that we can do, because works, like I said, works righteousness doesn't really work, because what happened, you know, he thought he was good enough. And when you and I go into the situation with God, we just think we're good enough on our own because, man, I've helped all these people. I've done all these things. But then we find out it's not good enough, because you have to have the right clothes. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. Now, we need to be able to merge these concepts of God choosing and man's choices in our thinking, because that's what was here. God's choosing and man's choices. God chose to bring them all in, but then man's choice was how he responded to that call. All are called, few are chosen. God's choosing, he chooses us all. But not everybody's going to answer that call to do it God's way, due to pride, due to a lot of different things. So we got to make sure that we understand, you know, these concepts and how they all tie together. Now, speaking about clothing, have you ever had a hard time choosing what to wear? I don't know what it's like at your house when you're going to go on a trip. My wife gets everything out of her closet. Checks it out. Tries it on. See if she likes it. You know, me? Eh. I just throw some stuff in a pile, and as long as I got, I count out the days, as long as I got the right number of stuff, and I always take too much because I end up wearing the same thing a couple three times. I mean, I just easy that way. But there's two clothing lines. Now, a lot of people like clothing lines. Now, I can't think of no big one. That's how big of a shopper I am. But, you know, let's say the two clothing lines are Target and Walmart, you know. What's that one JCPenney sells? I can't remember that one. That was my go-to for years, and then they fell out. And when Sears closed, that was hard for me. That's where I got, JCPenney's and Sears is where I got my clothes at, you know. But that was, it's a different day. But, you know, to me, there's two clothing lines that are available to you and I today. Adam's and Jesus' clothing line. All depends what you want to wear, right? You know, Adam's clothing line, we inherited it. Have you ever had to wear hand-me-downs? Now, I was the oldest, so I got the new stuff, hypothetically. But, you know, I used to wear that, but sometimes you got to wear the hand-me-downs, and this is what was handed down to us from Adam. There was shame. Some people wear shame, and they just can't get past it. It is something that's been put into their life, and it holds them back. And as well as shame, there's inferiority, that they just feel like they're less than instead of more than. You know, they just feel like when they go through life, they just don't measure up. They're not good enough for other people. Then you got insecurity, you know, where you're just not really sure about yourself. And you're dealing with all these things, and you walk in that self-doubt. It's just a common thing to walk in self-doubt all the time. And then the last one, I mean, I just named a few, but sometimes you can wear pride. You know, we're proud about stuff, and we think it's all about us and all the things that we do. Well, then the other clothing line you can pick, and that would be Jesus' clothing line. Like I mentioned earlier, one of his best sellers, and it's really free, is the robe of righteousness. You know, you get to put that on. You can get rid of that shame and that inferiority or insecurity and pride, and you just put on this robe of righteousness. It's just been given to you, like the king gave out the wedding clothes. I mean, it's just, you just receive that. And then, as my wife talked about last week, he also gives us the armor of God. You know, we have the armor of God in our life, that we're wearing that, and that's something that we can wear that was given to us by Jesus Christ. And then a couple other things we can put on is, you know, we can put on humility, can't we? You know, when you're secure in yourself, it's easier to be humble. It's easier to be humble because you don't have to prove something to nobody else because you know who you are. Then another thing we can put on that Jesus gave us is compassion. We need to be compassionate to those around us. Those who have it should try to love on and to witness to those who don't have it. Amen. And to show that compassion. How many people growing up have been turned off about Christianity because of a Christian's actions? I think a lot of people have had that go in their life where, due to the fact of some Christians thinking they were doing God a favor by straightening us out, actually did a lot of disservice. So those things, so putting on compassion. The last passage I want to look at here to live by faith, our lifestyle of faith, is Romans 4, 3 to 5. This kind of ties this back together. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So now to the one who works, his wage is credited as a favor, not as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Okay, there we go. We see that credited again, how that's working. Now, so Abraham was a man, and God looked, and he just saw something in him. Have you ever just looked at somebody, you could just see something in them that was kind of special? Well, Abraham, and he was called Abram at the time, he just could believe. He just had this faith. He could just take you at your word and just believe it. And God saw that, and he knew it was somebody he could work with, because, you know, Abraham wasn't raised in a Christian home, shall we say. I mean, there was no Christians anyway, but for lack of terms, I mean, he wasn't raised in the faith. He came from a house of idol worshipers. They worshiped other gods. And that's just how he was raised. And then what impressed God was that his ability to take it at his word. And, you know, and so what I see is that, you know, faith will make a way when there's no way. He was in this country, and God had told his father and the whole caravan they were supposed to go somewhere, but they only made it part way. They stopped and settled in a land that they weren't really, wasn't the whole picture. They didn't go far enough. So then God spoke to Abraham, because what would happen is God knew that faith would take him all the way. A lot of people stop along the way. And they stop at a rest area, and they don't get going again. And see, you and I have to be a people that have the faith to go on and to follow a God we can't see, and go in to do things that he's called us to do. And, you know, there's a difference between believing in God and living for God. A lot of people believe in God, but a lower percentage actually live for God. And to me, the faith life is true life. That's where life is, when we choose to follow God that way. And I hope you choose to do that. And what it is that we need to submit ourselves. Submission. Now, what does the word submission mean? When I say that, some people get all, they just tense up. You know, a lot of women have been told they have to submit to their man, no matter what he says. All you men say, hey, what? No, you better not. You better say, oh my. All the word submission means is to come under the mission of another. Technically, when husband and wives get married, they should be on the mission together. And when you and I choose to come to Christ, we change our life's plans, and they may change drastically. They may just tweak a little bit, just a little deviation. But that means we come under his mission. What's his mission? The reason why you and I should wake up in the morning is that we want to live for God. We want to glorify God. I know it's hard. I mean, you still go to work. You still have to take care of the kids. You don't get out of all that. No, you still do it. But it changes our deep inside why. Our why, because we've got to have our why. We choose to live for God. That means we look for opportunities to be able to share the faith. We look for opportunities to glorify God, to share the truth with people, and to see God glorified in our life. Why? So that way we draw people into the kingdom and not repel them. That's why. That's why we're here. And we need to come under his mission. So as we come under that. Now, this passage I looked at talks about merit-based pay. Now, I believe merit-based pay is good when we work a job. This is my belief. You may not believe this, and that's fine. Y'all can be wrong. No. I believe if you work harder, you should get more money than the lazy person. That's just how I roll. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not merit-based, because it's okay to see merit-based when we live in this world, far as working in the world system. But when we come into God's system, we have to check that merit-based thinking at the door. Because if not, we'll get into the bad habit of thinking that we have to, if we do more for God, we're going to get more from God. So we have to leave it over into the world system and leave it out of God's kingdom, okay? So we have to be smart enough to make a distinction between the two. We have to set some boundaries in our life and make those boundaries so that they work for us. And so, you know, when we develop the mentality of righteousness, you know, we will no longer struggle with inadequacy in the things of God. And that's going to stop us from doing all that stuff. Now, I want to go by a couple terms here before we wrap up here. Talking about credited, you know, I just want to interject again that it's imputed to our account or put into our account. So we just have to see that it's been put in there. And like I always said, I'll be passing out my bank statements here after a bit, my deposit slips to y'all. And if y'all feel led, I don't know why I said y'all. That drives me crazy when I hear people talk Southern. I don't know why. I'm from Southern Iowa, but I'm not that far south. But, you know, if you feel so led, you can just impute some things to my account. Right? Amen. That means I don't have to work for it. You just all give it. And that's grace. Amen. So, living by faith and what that means. Now, like I said, the kingdom of God is not merit-based, but faith-based. So, in closing, I want to give us a reality check. This is something that helps me, you know, there's a few things that really help me. Like I said, Matthew 6:33 helps me. When I kind of been working for God or serving God, and then sometimes, you know, you get kind of going, God, where's it all coming together here, you know? Why ain't it working out all the time? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That'll just put me right back on track where I need to be. But another thing that helps me is this here. It's a reality check. We need reality checks in our life. And this one here helps me. He alone is worthy, and we alone are not. That just keeps me in perspective all the time. He alone is worthy, we alone are not. I know my place. I know my place without God, but I know my place in God. That keeps me right where I need to be, that sweet spot. That through Jesus Christ, and I'm so thankful for everything that he did, that he made a way when there was no way. I was lost. I was so lost, I didn't know which direction was what. But then Jesus Christ came into my life, and he turned it around, and he showed me the way to go. Amen. And the way was him. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray.